Well, good morning, Oasis family, and those of you that are journeying with us today. Thank you so much for connecting with us. As you know, we're looking at our relationship with God and two values in particular we've been looking at. One was worship. We did that 2 weeks ago, and we started the second value, which is prayer. And we started that last week, and we're going to continue from that. We'll recap very quickly, and we're going to continue with that today. So today, as we are continuing on our journey, we are looking to shape our future and to establish our Oasis culture around discipleship. If you didn't hear last week's message, it'd be great if you could, because obviously this follows on from that. If you could do that as soon as possible, that would be really helpful. So we're continuing with prayer today. We defined prayer last time as an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for Him. We bring ourselves before God, we bring before Him the needs of others, and being in communion with Him always and in all things. We saw and we looked at that prayer was central to the life of Jesus. Jesus revealed His absolute dependence on God the Father for guidance, for direction, for provision, and the power to carry out His earthly ministry. So we saw that prayer was prominent in Jesus's life. The disciples observed Jesus's amazing prayer life, and that's why they asked Him a simple question, five words: Lord, teach us to pray. We know that, as we've said, as the Lord's Prayer. And in the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 2 to 4, Jesus says these words: when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Give us your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. So in response to the disciples' request, the first thing that Jesus did in teaching that prayer, and we looked at that last week, is to address God as our Father. Not Jesus' Father, but our Father. And Jesus was sharing with the disciples that they too can have the same relationship with the Heavenly Father as He can. So Jesus started with adoration. And then He said, when you pray. Remember we said He didn't say if you pray. It was a done deal for Jesus. It was assumed by Jesus that as His disciples they would pray. And for us as disciples of Jesus today, it's Jesus' assumption that we will pray. We looked at the whole purpose of our prayer life is built on the basis of us living as a child of God and seeing God as our loving Heavenly Father. The quality of our prayer life is not the words we use when we pray. It is the quality of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's what He's interested in. The quality of our relationship. Not the words we say. That's part of it. That's part of that relationship. But the relationship is the key thing. The quality of that. So Jesus starts with addressing as our Father and adoration. We looked at that last week. So we're going to look at four other areas very quickly today around the area of the Lord's Prayer and what Jesus taught. So first of all, I'm sure every one of us want our prayers to be effective and they want to have God's blessing upon them. And what Jesus does here firstly, He says we need to align ourselves with God's purposes if their prayers are going to be effective and if we're going to have God's blessing. So if we want to experience answers to prayer, the first step is to seek God's kingdom and His purposes. Your kingdom come. First step is to seek God's kingdom and His purposes. Sadly, at times we can be self-centered. We can be preoccupied with ourselves, with our own ambitions, with our own interests, with our own desires. And instead of singing this song, it's all about you, Jesus, we sing this song, it's all about me, Jesus. and what I need. And our minds, our heart, are not naturally concerned with God's purposes. So they both need to be trained. They both need to come into submission and alignment with God's word. And as disciples, this happens as we learn to live in the presence of God the Father. The more we spend in the presence of God, the more our hearts and minds will naturally want to do God's will. So in order to be effective in prayer, we sometimes need a mindset adjustment. The Word of God clearly teaches us that we need to set our minds on, can you remember the verse? On things above. In the picture I show at the end of this video and the last video, there's a picture of a man there, and he's standing with his arms outstretched, with his eyes up, facing heaven. His focus is on God. His relationship is with God. And he's just lost in the presence of God. And I've put that picture in specifically because I think that this will be practical, a practical way for helping you and me as we focus on this value, as we focus on a relationship with God, to spend these times and maybe raise our hands and keep our eyes focused on God, so that the world around us, the distractions, the people that hurt us, the things that are going on, we take our eyes off those and we put our eyes upon Jesus. And that's a great opportunity for us to develop our relationship with him. Now, I'm not saying you do that when you're driving your car and you're praying. It's not a good idea. And I'm not saying that when you're walking down the street that you just stop, lift your hands up and pray. Although you might need to do that at times if you're in danger or something may be happening. But generally, I'm talking about taking a specific time where you can do that and come away from the things of this world and focus on Jesus. And as we focus our mind and heart on God's agenda, on what interests him, on what interests him and his purposes, that must be our focus. So let's go to a scripture found in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church, the Colossians, the Colossian Christians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is what it says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Would you say that next to the person next to you, or if you're on your own, say that loud? Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a wonderful verse. So what's important to God the Father should now be important to us. What's on his agenda should now be on our agenda. The purpose of prayer is not to promote our own personal agenda. Prayer is an instrument for advancing God's honour, God's kingdom, God's will, and God's purposes. Let me say that again. Prayer is an instrument for advancing God's honour, God's kingdom, God's will, and God's purposes. And so the greatest joy and fulfilment in life is complete when we pursue the will and purposes of God. Your kingdom come. When we pray that we would do the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. So as God reveals his will to us, then as his disciples, God is looking for us to do that without hesitation, with joy, with passion, with zeal, with single-minded devotion, with wholehearted commitment to him. And this is why it's a good time to pray and read your word together. Read the word of God together. Because as we pray and study the word of God, we will understand what God's kingdom purposes are. So what kind of things can we pray for where we know that it's in the will of God, it's on God's agenda, it's on God's plans, that we can be effective in prayer? What kind of prayers do we know we can pray and we'll have God's blessing upon them? Well, the Bible already teaches us to pray that the reign of Jesus Christ would spread throughout the nations of the earth until Jesus returns a second time. So we're praying for a move of God, that the presence of God will fall in this world, and that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. We already know that the Bible teaches us that we're to bring our lives and to joyful surrender and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can pray into that, that our lives will be in surrender to Jesus. We will submit ourselves to the will of God, and that others will do the same. We also know that the Bible teaches us to pray that God's kingdom purposes will be accomplished through us, through our lives and the lives of others and the lives of people in our fellowship. And we know we can pray those things. So when we ask in prayer for those things to be done, it will be done because our prayers are in agreement with God's will and God's word. God's will and God's word are never at odds with each other. They're always in agreement. They never contradict it. God does not change his mind today for what he's put in his word years ago, thousands of years ago for us. He does not change his mind. It's still the same. So when we pray, we know we can pray in such a way where we declare that his kingdom will be established in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in this church, in his church, and in the world. The second point, Jesus taught us to depend on the Father for all our needs. He says these words, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So we've aligned ourselves with God's purposes, will, and God's agenda. And in doing so, we then, after we've done that, aligning ourselves to God's purposes, will, and his agenda, we're encouraged to present to God all our needs and the needs of others. Now, it's not that God doesn't know what we need. It's not that God turns around and says, well, could you just remind me what you need today? I've got so many people on my waiting list. If you can just tell me, I can just make it happen. God already knows what we need. He knows what's going to happen today. He knows everything that's lying ahead of us, and he'll send people across our path, divine appointments, or he will send ministering angels. He already knows what we need. It's not that he doesn't know, but he asks us, once we've followed that pattern of adoration, once of bringing our lives in alignment with God's will, to then bring the needs of others and our own needs to him. So our loving Father in heaven created and designed us to look to him to provide us with absolutely everything. Would you say that at home? Absolutely everything. For our physical and our spiritual well-being, and for our physical and spiritual well-being of our family. As a child depends on their parents to provide all their basic needs, so we express our dependence on our Heavenly Father for all our material and spiritual needs. The other day I was on YouTube and I was just looking at something, and a clip came up and I was quite intrigued by it and I watched it. It was a beautiful clip and it was a story. It starts with a little boy who is probably 4 years of age and he's playing with other boys. He's carrying a football and they're on this football pitch and they're having fun. And what he doesn't know is that his dad has arrived back from the army from 6 months being away and he's on the sideline watching. All the father does is call the child's name. And what happens is the boy stops what he's doing. He has the ball in his hand. He's looking around. He spots the father. He drops the ball and he runs as fast as he can. The father bends down and the child jumps into the father's arms and he holds the father as tight as he can. He buries the head into the shoulder of the father and he just stays there. He's in a beautiful place, this child, totally dependent on the Father. And that's the place that we should be. And maybe that's a picture for you today, that you need to run into the Father's arms and just place your arms around him, allow his arms to come around you, bury your head in his shoulder, and be totally dependent upon him today. Sometimes we think that we are the providers for our families, that we must be the ones who provide everything needed by our own hard work, that we should work and provide for our families. And of course, we were created to work. God calls us to work. He calls us to take responsibility for our families. But we can be so consumed in our role that we forget to be sons and daughters, children of our Heavenly Father. God created us to be totally dependent upon him. Our whole lives, not just in an emergency, not just 999 prayer calls, not just unusual hardships, but each and every day for the needs every day bring. In our all-embracing lifestyle of worship and prayer, it's a time where we learn to know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, and we learn the only way is total dependence on him for everything. Thirdly, and this is a point that we're going to pray into, and I'm going to invite Esther in a minute to come and pray for us in this. And this is probably one area that many, many people struggle in. And you may be struggling in that today. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to help you today. Jesus taught us, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Just as we need to eat every day, so also we need forgiveness every day. One thing is sure, at some point in the day, we're going to do something where we need forgiveness. Or someone is going to hurt us by their words, by their actions. And we need to make a choice to do what Jesus says, to forgive them. Jesus asked his Father to forgive those who had caused him to be crucified. He's on the cross. He's about to give up his spirit to lay down his life. But before he does that, he cries out to the Father, his Heavenly Father, his loving Heavenly Father, and he says these words, Father, forgive them. Now we might look at the story and say, well, it was those Pharisees that caused Jesus to be on the cross, that caused him and caused him to die on that cross in the horrific ways. Therefore, wow, it's amazing that Jesus was willing to forgive them. And we could think about the soldiers, those cruel soldiers who enjoyed crucifying people and inflicting pain on them. We could say, well, wow, isn't that amazing? Jesus chose to forgive them, and that is amazing that he could do that. But actually, let's come closer to home. Closer to home is this, that you and I caused Jesus to die on that cross. It was our sin that took him to that cross. And if you do not know Jesus Christ today as your personal Saviour, as your Lord, he went to that cruel cross to pay the penalty of your sin and my sin for everything you've done wrong. And today, if you put your trust in Jesus, and you ask him to forgive you for those things, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to give you a new start in life and to give you a hope and a future. And it's your choice today. When Jesus died on that cross with his arms outstretched, he did that for you. Just like that father with his arms out for that child, he's waiting for you to come, and he's waiting to come and embrace you and accept you just as you are today. I want to encourage you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come and know him today. Know complete forgiveness from your past and have a fresh start. But no, closer to home is the fact that we caused Jesus to die on that cross. And when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, he was talking to us. He was extending forgiveness to you and I for everything that we've done or we're going to do this side of heaven. And in doing so, he set an example for his disciples that were watching to follow, and for us. Forgive others. Offering the same forgiveness that we have received. Asking for forgiveness, receiving it, and forgiving others is vital in growing as a disciple. And Jesus connects giving forgiveness to receiving forgiveness. You may agree or disagree with this statement. That's up to you whether you want to do that. But this is what I believe. We won't experience the deep cleansing of God's mercy and forgiveness while our hearts are hardened in bitterness towards somebody who has wronged or offended us. If we want forgiveness, there has to be a willingness to forgive personal injury. We need to bring those people who have hurt us in prayer to God the Father and to ask him with the whole help of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to invite the Holy Spirit right now to do that, to help us forgive them. We need to forgive ourselves. If God can choose to forgive us and to love us for the things that we've done wrong, we need to choose to forgive ourselves. And we can invite the Holy Spirit in those two areas to forgive ourselves and forgive others right now. So I'm going to invite Esther now to come and just to pray into those areas for us now. Thank you, Esther.
Let's pray. Father God, there's so many things that we've done wrong in our lives over the years. When we look back at the great debt, Father, that we owe to you, and yet you've forgiven us. You sent your son to the cross to be punished for us so that we don't have to be punished. And we thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness that you've just flowed freely into our lives. And so, Lord, we don't want to set ourselves up above you by not forgiving ourselves. If you've chosen to forgive us, Lord, then, Father, we have no right to not release forgiveness to ourselves for the things that we've done that we may regret. And so, Lord, we choose today to forgive ourselves in the same way as you've forgiven us. Lord, we release ourselves into the fullness of your forgiveness and your goodness, Lord, to us. Your grace and your mercy that flows every day into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for that. And in the same way, Lord, we choose to forgive others that have hurt us. Father, we're human and we're frail and we can feel resentful and bitter so easily, Lord. But Lord, we choose to forgive others that have hurt us. Lord, we release them into the fullness, Lord, of our forgiveness, just in the same way as you've forgiven us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've set up this divine order for us. And we bless your name, Lord, because it's so freeing and it's so liberating. We can walk in that forgiveness in both directions, just with a lightness in our spirit and a burden off our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And I just pray, Father, for anybody that's really struggling today with that. Lord, that they would have that ability by the enabling of your spirit, Father, to release others that have hurt them and forgiven and wounded them. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name, that Lord, from the youngest to the oldest in the congregation, you'd now pour in your grace and your mercy, Father, as they choose to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
So thank you, Esther, for praying. So we declare in Jesus' name that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We declare over your life there is freedom from the past and a future for you, and that you can walk in a different way than you've walked before. And those things that maybe affected you in the past will come to an end in Jesus' name. And I pray a new season over your life in Jesus' name. So finally, we're looking at the last point. Jesus taught us and lead us not into temptation. So having asked God to forgive us for our failures, for our sin, we're also asking God for something else now. We're asking God for his strength, the power of the Holy Spirit to live within us, to resist temptation and to stand firm against the devil. So the final thing Jesus taught us is to pray for God's strength to withstand temptation from the devil. And as we're doing that, we're praying for a hedge of protection around our lives and around the lives of others. What's really important to understand is that God himself does not tempt us, nor does he put evil desires in our heart. James 1 verse 13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." You see, if God did tempt us to sin, he would be acting contrary to his holy nature, contrary to what he's already put in his word. And remember, God and his word work in alignment and there is no contradiction. It would be working against his desire for us to be holy as he is holy. It would be against all of the commandments in scripture that tell us to avoid sin. In fact, it tells us to flee from temptation. So the inclusion of a request for God not to lead us into temptation teaches us that avoiding temptation should be one of the primary concerns of a Christian life. Quite often people are thinking, what does God want me to do in my life? And they get so consumed in that. And of course, that's important. But one of the things we should be concerned about as disciples in our Christian life is to avoid temptation and to fall into sin. The petition in the Lord's Prayer, not to be led into temptation, reflects our desires as a disciple of Jesus to avoid the dangers of sin altogether. And sometimes people, they think they can flirt with danger, flirt with sin, and they'll be okay, that they're strong enough, and then they can deal with it. And most of the time, they can't. We're called to avoid danger of sin at all times. If I was driving my car on a straight piece of road, which I like, and I'd put my foot down and go really fast, perhaps, and there's a speed limit, and of course we keep the speed limits, don't we, as Christians? We come to a bend, but before we come to the bend, there's a sign that says, danger, slow down. And we think, it's okay, I've got a powerful car, I've got good brakes, I'll brake at the last minute. And we come to the, almost at the edge of the bend, and it says, you must stop down, danger now, sharp bend. And we say, no, I can still do it. And we go, try and make the bend, and we don't make it, and we go off the edge of the cliff. Now, we've seen the signs. It's not that we haven't seen the signs, but we've chosen to ignore them because we think we'll be okay. As Christians, we cannot ignore the signs. And the Holy Spirit starts to tell us about something and speak into our lives and say, look, this isn't good for you. Don't do this. Avoid that situation. Don't go to that place. We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to avoid the dangers of sin altogether. Every day we face moments of temptation. They constantly surround us. This world offers us endless choices. You can have what you want. What does it matter as long as you don't hurt anybody? This is the very time now why we need to pray. Jesus taught us that when we pray, we ask that temptation does not draw us in. And in doing so, we focus and look to our Father for spiritual protection as well as material protection. We want God to protect our spirit. So, Luke chapter 11, 2 to 4. Jesus, in response to the disciples' question, Lord, teach us to pray, says this. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. As we finish now, prayer is absolutely essential if we're going to grow as a disciple and to be more like Jesus. Develop your prayer life. Increase your prayer life. Pray in the way Jesus taught his disciples. Make it a priority in your life. Find a quiet place to pray where you won't be disturbed. Maybe look to focus your eyes, lift your hands, and to focus on him. Use a Bible journal if need be. Write down the things God is saying to you, and so that you can pray into those things. And ask God to give you the breakthrough you need today, and invite him to do that. Prayer, we've defined as an act of worship that glorifies God and reinforces our need for him, bringing ourselves before God, bringing before him the needs of others, being in communion with him always and in all things. So we're encouraging you, we're asking you, we're wanting to do this together, that we all develop a lifestyle of prayer, pray at any time, at all times. Thank you so much for listening. Today there are people waiting. If you're listening with us in the morning now, Sunday morning, there are people waiting. They're called hosts. And they can talk with you, they can pray with you. Click on the prayer button or connect with us at admin@oasischristiancentre.org.uk. We'd love you to connect with us and take this time today. God bless you. Thank you so much for connecting with us today and listening.